Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. It's Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We're so blessed that you're joining us. We have a very special guest for you today. She's ministered all over the world and is internationally known for her music and her speaking engagements. Julie Carrick is one of the most effective speakers and artists in the Catholic Church today. She brings a passionate message of faith, hope, and love masterfully woven together through her music and personal witness about living the faith. A veteran singer and composer, she's been featured at countless local, national, and international events. As a radio host heard on stations around the U.S. and around the world, she boldly shares her faith at every opportunity. She has 15 awe-inspiring recordings, but her music shares the emotional element that takes the message of God's love from the head to the heart. She has over 25 years of ministry experience and is the co-founder of Carrick Ministries Foundation, and she is here with us today. Help me welcome to the program, Julie Carrick. Julie, thank you for taking the time to join us today.
Oh, it is such a privilege, but I have to tell you, when I hear that little introduction, I'm kind of tired.
I can imagine.
Amen. Actually, it's energizing. It's fabulous. It's so energizing.
Amen. Well, the first question, other than that brief information I just shared, tell us in your own words, who is Julie Carrick?
I am the daughter of the King of the Universe. Amen. I am the daughter of God. I am a daughter of God. I am a wife. I am a mom. I'm a Nona. And I happen to be gifted with the ability to sing. God has given me that beautiful gift to sing. And so the title that I tend to wear is recording artist and speaker, but it's so much more than that. I try to just be a tool of the Holy Spirit to share whatever it is God wants me to share with his people.
Amen. Amen. And you definitely have a calling for music. Unlike me, when everyone knows music is not my calling, okay? But how did you get your start in music ministry?
Well, I started as a young girl. I was very active in my church growing up in Michigan. And I'm actually the third generation of musician. My grandfather, my mom's dad, was the organist and choir director in a little tiny church in Friesau, Michigan. And then my mother followed in his footsteps for 25 years. And when my parents moved to Arizona when I was in high school, I stayed in Michigan with my grandmother, and I followed in my mother's footsteps. And so I began leading and singing music at church, and it was never my intent. That's what's so crazy. It was never my intent to be a professional musician or speaker. My heart was actually in engineering. My sweet daddy was an engineer, a phenomenal engineer, and I really thought that's what I would like to do with my life. But it was amazing how God just cleared my plate of that as I came into adulthood. I was working for the Department of Engineering and Housing for the military overseas. And from there, I took a position with the U.S. Geological Survey in Flagstaff, Arizona. And one day coming home from work, I just had such a tug on my heart to be first and foremost a wife. And I thought, well, I love being a wife. I don't know why God's calling me, you know, to revisit that. I love being a wife. And we had at that time our two daughters, and they were itty bitties. And he just laid it on my heart that I needed to be home with them. And so I couldn't believe it when I went into work and gave my notice. And I said, I'm giving you the 3-month required notice. I'm quitting. They all thought I had lost my mind. And so when I was not exhausted on the weekends, I began volunteering again at church in Flagstaff. And it was this beautiful old 100-and-some-year-old beautiful church down in downtown Flagstaff, Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And every weekend, like every single weekend when I would just use the gift that God had given me, people would stop and chat with me after each of the masses and ask, where do I get a recording? And I said, well, I don't have one. You know, it's not me. And finally, after about a year of that, one of our deacons approached me And he said, you know, you can either, you know, listen to what the Lord is saying, or he could use a 2x4 upside your head to get your attention. Right. And so it was just a beautiful series of events that the Lord put in place. I was sponsored by the Pepsi company, to go to Nashville and to do a 5-song demo recording. And that just kind of was the beginning of it. The Lord just allowed that simple, simple mm-hmm. beginning just to spiral into something that he would use.
Wow. That is awesome. And as we were talking before we started the recording, it's amazing how God can direct your path to finally get you where he wanted you to be all along.
Mm-hmm. You know? Exactly. Amen. Yeah.
Amen. Where were you from in Michigan originally?
So if anyone listening knows where this is, they can send you or me an email and they get a free CD. It's a little tiny town called Free Soil.
Okay. And where is it near?
So, okay, you know, Michigan has its own map, right?
I love that.
So here's
right.
Michigan.
That's right.
So here's Free Soil. This is Manistee.
Well, on the west side.
Okay. Yep. This is Manistee. This is Ludington, right in the center, this little tiny town, Free Soil.
I was thinking it is up on the western side, I'm from Marysville, Port Huron.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Amen. Yep. And actually, the closest quote unquote town was called Smith's Creek.
Okay.
And that's about 8 miles outside of Port Huron, about 5 miles outside of Marysville. Our claim to fame, you heard of the story with Thomas Edison when he got booted off the train for setting the boxcar on fire?
Yes.
They kicked him off in Smith's Creek.
Oh. What a place to be known for. Kicking the man off the train.
Thomas Edison, of all people.
You know? Wow.
There's a little marker there, you know, historic marker, where Thomas Edison booted off the train. You
know? Oh, that's funny. That's funny.
I'm used to those small towns. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Well,
how has the Lord used your music to open doors to share your faith around the world?
You know, there have been so many incredibly remarkable moments, but it seems like every time I'm asked to give an interview, one in particular just stands out. And it was at a church in Seattle, Washington. I was there doing just a simple concert. This was years before I got more into the speaking engagements, and I felt like the music was the kind of the primary tool at that time. And I had done a project there called The Bridge, and it's this beautiful image of salvation where on one side you have this, you know, kind of the level ground, and then there's this huge chasm. And on the other side, so on this side it says sin, on this side it says salvation. And how do you get across this huge chasm? Mm-hmm. By the bridge of the cross. And so the cross in the center of this bridge, and, you know, Christ suffered that for us. And so this whole event was about this beauty of salvation. And one of the songs that I had sung at that event is called Kateri. And it's a song about adoption and how God allows certain trials in our life in order to draw us closer into his mercy and into his heart. And so I had sung the song Kateri. And then it was a year later, I was doing this next one called The Bridge. And this young woman came up to me and she said, you know, the last time that you were here, you sang the song Kateri. And that was on a Friday night. And I said, I remember well. And she said, well, what happened to me that evening is I heard your voice and I heard the words of your song, Kateri. My heart was transformed. And she said, on Saturday morning, I was scheduled to have an abortion. But the way that the music affected my heart, I went home that night and told my mother and father that I was pregnant. And then the woman that was standing just to her side, and she said, and I'd like you to meet my son. And here's this infant in the arms of his grandmother. And I wept for joy. I mean, I wept for joy that something so simple as taking the message of a story of two different women, one, a woman very, very dear to my heart, who had placed her daughter for adoption when she herself was only 18 years old in high school, and then very dear friends of mine who adopted a daughter so many years later, and to share the story of these two women and their journey of faith and how God gave them the strength. Amen. And how he was able to take a simple thing as a song and save a life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there have been countless lives saved because of that. That's one example.
Amen. Amen. And that's the power of music, because it can penetrate the hardest heart sometimes. Amen.
Yeah.
And you also sang for our troops that were recovering from war in Iraq. What was that experience like?
That was amazing. Gosh, that was back in 2004. And I was heading to Germany that year to do the preparation alongside of Youth Arise International for the Catholic World Youth Day that was taking place there in 2005. So the year prior, I was part of the advance team to go help kind of organize things. And when my schedule was posted, I was contacted by the United States Army, and they said, would you consider coming to Landstuhl, Germany, while you're here, and do a visit with our troops, and just to kind of encourage those who have been wounded. And then there is a place there called Fisher House where their families stay while their wounded servicemen are being treated in that hospital. And with my husband having been prior Army, and I had worked and lived in a military community for 5 years in Germany many, many years ago, I thought I was prepared emotionally for what I was going to experience. But it was the most amazing thing. When I arrived at the hospital, the service members that they had escorting me from room to room, we would put on the gloves and our masks and everything and walk into the room. And he would be a man or a woman laying there, missing an arm, missing a leg, distorted faces because of things exploding. And they just wanted peace. They just wanted healing. One man in particular, I'll never forget his face. He asked me, he said, have you ever seen what a bullet wound looks like? And I said, not on a person, no. And he lifted his arm, and on his side was this deep, probably this deep in, right? Now it was already healing here, but this big opening that was, healing. And he said, you could literally put your hand in there if you wanted to. And it reminded me of the incredible passage in Scripture where Christ is talking, to Thomas, and he says, don't persist in your unbelief, but believe, right? And he said, put your finger into the wounds. And I thought, what an incredible representation that these men and women who are willing to lay it down for us, to lay it down for other civilians around the world, and to see the heart that they had. And every one of those people that I visited, and there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them over those few days, and every one of them just wanted that assurity that they belong to Christ. And to be able to be that voice and to say, thank you for serving not only us, but those who are in harm's way in other parts of the world. Yeah. It transformed me. It transformed me to a heart of appreciation, to a heart of love. And then to be with their families as they just had these incredible moments of thanking God that their loved one was protected.
Amen.
Transformative.
Amen.
I remember asking the question after the first day. I said, why did you bring me here? what do I have to offer? I'm a recording artist. I sing. What am I going to offer these men who have offered so much? And they said, simply your presence. Yeah. And it was amazing.
Amen. Yeah. I served 12 years in the Army in the cavalry as an officer.
Thank you.
Before I got out and became a cop. So
thank you for your service.
I appreciate that. I followed the initial, back in, what was it, 1991, the first Gulf War. And I tried to keep up with the people that were in our unit and all that. And even though I wasn't in for the war, the ties were still there.
Yeah.
And I found out that every one of my men made it back home.
Oh, praise God.
That was a big, as far as I could check on.
Right.
So even though I wasn't there, at least I know that the training that I provided paid off in the end.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
Now, when you minister though, you try to use real life stories to make the point that being a Christian does not mean you're never going to have any trials. I mean, how are you able to weave these stories into the points you're making from the scriptures?
So the best way to approach that for me is every event that I am hired to come out and do, that I'm asked to come and present, I work with either the pastor or the folks who are putting together a particular event. And every one of them, whether they realize it at the beginning or if we have to kind of work through it, there is a theme. There is something happening in a community that requires some type of edification, some type of spiritual enrichment, whatever that might be. And so the first thing that I do is I help them find their need. A lot of times I'll ask pastors, and in the Catholic Church, one of the sacraments that's very beneficial is the sacrament of reconciliation. And what I find very helpful with pastors is I'll ask them, is there one particular sin that you hear over and over and over as you have the penitents come in? And if it's something like, you know, you live in a town where there's a lot of gambling, okay, how are we using our gifts? You know, how are we being stewards? If in that same time frame, all of a sudden there's a lot of teen pregnancy or there's abortion or whatever the thing that keeps appearing. And so we talk through that. What's causing this? What's the root cause? And then to bring together the scripture passage, you know, perhaps it's, you know, one in particular I recall was in West Texas, and there was a lot of brokenness in families. And so we went to that beautiful image of Saint Joseph and Mary, and how the image of the Holy Family, you know, that they didn't come from easy lives, difficulties in order for them to be considered a holy family, right? Mm-hmm. And then Christ himself, that he was willing to literally die for us. And to give that image of husband and wife and how we are to be caretakers of each other's souls. And that what's most important is that we bring each other side by side, evenly yoked into the grace of God. And so from something like that, I might share the story of how my husband and I in the year 2004, we were that couple. You know, we were that couple that was headed for divorce. We were that couple that my husband was in a very broken place because of something that had happened to one of our adult children. And he just wanted out. I mean, he wanted to escape the difficulty of life that we were in. And instead of escaping it, he allowed Mary actually to touch his heart as this feminine, beautiful woman to touch his heart and to turn him back around to her son, you know, to bring him back to the heart of Jesus. And instead of us divorcing, we were able to heal. Amen. And when I say heal, when there's infidelity in a marriage, it's not like, okay, honey, I forgive you, let's move on. There is work that needs to be done. Yeah. And so on a marriage thing like that, the work that has to happen, what does it mean to forgive? What does it mean to be forgiven? And then the songs that I've written over the years that bring that impact, you know, it's amazing how you share the witness. You bring in the Bible passage where the woman caught in the act of adultery, Christ didn't judge her. He loved her. He forgave her. And that's what we are called to do. And then to take those songs of forgiveness and open up that heart, it's transformative.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. And, you know, talking on that subject, I know that you had some things happen that many people wouldn't know how to handle. I believe you're referencing where your daughter was raped, became pregnant because of the rape. How did your faith help you and her through that ordeal?
Right. That's a powerful one. It's an incredibly huge journey in faith. And I think when it came to my daughter, there was never a question about the child's life. And as you mentioned, she was the victim of a horrific sexual assault. She was 20 years old in college. And it was just horrific what she went through. Yeah. And a couple of weeks after the attack, when she realized that the pregnancy had begun, you know, she had conceived a child through this attack. Her only question for God at that moment was, are you calling me to be a mom or are you calling me to be a birth mother? She never questioned the life of her child. And for that, I am eternally grateful. I mean, It's the most amazing thing when you see life enter this world. And in the words of my daughter, what allowed the healing for me with her to move forward and not have hatred in my heart for someone who had hurt my daughter, she said, "Mom, if it hadn't been for this child, this rape would have just been an act of violence. But from new life comes great joy." And the life of my grandson was able to temper those emotions of hatred and then turn those into truly a manifestation of God's grace that says we are grateful for the gift of new life. Yeah, my first grandson, you know, now Zachary is 6'5". He's 16 years old and he's an amazing young man. He's an amazing man of faith. My daughter has since found this beautiful man that God brought into her life. He also had two sons. So when they got married, they became a family of five. Wow. Amen. And it's grace. It's grace. And to see the witness of life. So the greatest healing for me came in new life. Mm-hmm. And then to see how God would use that, we allow God to use us. We're not puppets, but he certainly will allow these things to be used to his honor and glory.
Amen. So. Yeah, amen. Amen. And one of your talks is what it means to be truly pro-life. I mean, in light of that and that situation, in light of the cancel culture and, you know, everything evil is good that our nation seems to be running towards right now, how has this message impacted those that hear it?
This one has been absolutely profound. Out of the, 16 years since he was born, and with my daughter being as gracious as she was to say, "Mom, you know, you're a part of his life too, and you have my permission to share the story." It has impacted lives in a way that I have seen people that were the most hardened hearts when it came to the abortion issue, where they said, "There's no reason." You know, in fact, one woman actually came up to me after an event where I had presented this, and she was still very hardened in her heart. And she said, "Aren't you worried that your grandson is going to grow up and also be a rapist?" And I said, "Being a rapist is not a genetic thing. And one act of violence, which would be the murder of a child, does not ever make up for the other act of violence, which was the rape." Yeah. And it was sitting down with her and actually having that full conversation that by the time she left that day, she had had a change of heart.
Amen.
And it was amazing. And that's not one. I mean, there are thousands of examples of that over these 16 years. We're just hearing his story. And again, my daughter's witness of, you know, this child gave her purpose. In that the rape was not just an act of violence. Something beautiful came out of it. So.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. That is so, I can relate to that. My daughter, when she was 16, had things go on. Mm-hmm. She was in the rebellion stage and drifting away rapidly, and she became pregnant.
Well, mm-hmm.
And immediately, that first thing when she told us, said, "I don't want to lose the baby."
Oh.
I mean, the roots that had been established sprang up, just like you sounded like for your daughter. They sprang up that night, and it totally changed the direction she was heading. Mm-hmm. And brought back, and her and the father ended up being married. They're still married. It's been, 20 some years. But that, like you said, that child, my first grandson well, he's 23 years old. He works at the hospital and stuff right now, local hospital, going to college and all that. But, he gave her purpose and me, because I was raised by my grandparent. My mother died when I was 18 months old.
Oh.
And my dad was in and out of prison, alcoholic and all that. So my grandparents basically raised me for most of my life. And, I remember holding Christopher. He's 30 minutes old and I was holding him. I was like, "There's no learning curve here, boy. I know exactly how to spoil you."
Isn't that the best? They are the best. Yeah. Oh, yeah. What a gift.
When a couple of years later, Zoe was born, his sister and my first granddaughter, and they're only 2 years apart. So I taught them from as soon as they could form words, because they say, you're spoiling them. They're not spoiled. They're blessed.
Amen.
They're not spoiled. They're blessed. And I remember one time we were in a grocery store, you know how they got the candy aisle right there, and I had both of them sitting in the basket, and I was up there getting ready to check out, put stuff up there. Because you guys want some candy? I gave them a candy bar. The cashier said, does your grandpa spoil you? And both of them, it looked so cool. Look, their heads swiveled in unison, and in unison they said, we're not spoiled, we're blessed.
Oh, I love that. I was like,
hey, they got it.
You get it. Amen. Amen.
Oh, yeah. Amen. Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time for our great interview with Julie Carrick. This is just part one of a 4-part interview. And you can tell this is a great interview. It's not very often when I get to do such an extensive interview that is so interesting. Amen. I'm getting a lot out of this. I know you are as well. I urge you to reach out to Julie Carrick. Email her, visit her website, order her book. Most definitely, you need to order her music. Praise God. Music is one of the most powerful spiritual forces in the world. Why do you think the devil tries to keep control of the music industry? Go down to the show notes, get in touch with Julie, and be sure to order her new book, Unfailing Grace, which we'll be talking about in upcoming episodes. But you don't have to wait for that to happen. You can order it right now. Just click the link down below and order her book today. And be sure to come back for the next episode, because I'm telling you right now, we're just starting to get into the good stuff. Amen. I'm excited because I know where we're going to be going with this and what we're talking about. Amen. Until next time, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this. Your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.